Hello and greetings, everyone. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, today, let's talk about money. I think that this teaching will be worth your time to listen to. Money. It's an important matter in the world today. It's an important matter in the life of a saint, if we keep it in right perspective. Now, if you're an adult and you've lived for any period of time in this world, in this culture, it's pretty clear to see the world is in a pursuit for money, greed, materialism that mostly leads the way in most people you'll meet, many people, many cultures. And it should not be so for God's true people, so let's keep that in mind. When it comes to money, what I've learned in my almost 60 years is there's a lot of misconceptions biblically about money. And I want to cover some of those. I think I have four main points that I want to cover. Biblical misconceptions about money. But first, let's read a main money verse. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, there's a lot in that verse right there. As I go through these points, we're going to cover what that verse is talking about. So let's move to the points I want to make here. Point number one, as our main verse says, it is the love of money that is the root of evil, not money itself. I get people all the time come up to me and say, you know, money's the root of all evil, and I get called nitpicky for pointing out, actually, no, it's the love of money, but that's not nitpicky at all. That's getting right to the truth. It's not money that's evil. It says it's the love of money that's evil. And you'll get people that will tell you that money is evil. But, you know, money is just a tool. I always tell people, like a knife that you can make dinner with, or a gun you could hunt and get some meat on the table with. Money is just a tool. It can be used wrongly, as those both tools can as well. So we have to be careful how we use money, but it's needed in this culture in the world to survive. We're not trading chickens anymore. People are trading money and dollar bills or whatever currency you're listening in. So it's not sinful in itself, but it's sinful if we love money, because we're called to love God and love our neighbor. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. That would include money, right? Mammon is made up by the world systems. So if you start loving money, and I know in my life before Christ, I think I fell into this, though not a lot. I was never materialistic, but I certainly was more money-driven then than I am now, by far. If you fall in love with money or start to love money and things, you don't have a lot left over in your life for loving God, loving brothers and sisters, loving your neighbor. So it's not something that God's people should get caught up in if they're using wisdom and good discernment. Love of money corrupts, and I have a story to tell you at the end of this teaching that illustrates that, so we'll get to that. Point number two, many will quote Jesus telling the rich young ruler to give it all away as kind of a ban on being rich, but that isn't true at all. Let me read that account. Matthew 19:16-22. And behold, one came to him and said, good master, what good things shall I do that may I have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest me good? There is none good, but one that is good, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy mother and father, and thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So people read that and they go, see, you can't have any money or possessions to follow Jesus. You got to get rid of everything. No, if you understand what happened here, and you understand how Jesus did ministry. Being God himself, he could look into a person's heart and mind and knew what their sin and their proclivity, their weakness was. This young man's weakness was he loved things. It's clear. He'd been keeping the law. He was a moral man. But he loved money more than everything. All right? So that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And that's what Jesus exposed, okay? Because we know that God is not against men having money. How do we know this? Well, God honored David, King David. He was filthy rich. God honored his son Solomon. He was filthy rich. Coming in the New Testament, Jesus ate at rich men's houses. So the issue is not the money. The issue is the state of the heart, right? He loved the things that he had, and when Jesus said, get rid of them and follow me, he couldn't do it. He loved his money more than God. So that's the big issue there. You could have $1 million, and you could not be any more materialistic than a man that has $10 and wants $1 million. It's all a state of your heart, and while money can trip you up, it's not sinful in itself. That's what I'm trying to get at here. Though it can be a trap, it can be a pit, and it can be a detriment. Point number three, massive money is more often a curse, not a blessing. You know, people that are poor, they always want more money, right? And so they think if they were rich, all their problems would be solved. But that simply isn't the case, right? Our main verse that I read to you says, they erred from the faith. Let's talk about that. So money, while it's a tool, it can be a terrible, terrible influence, and it can be destructive in your life. Money, it's often said, is a great servant to you, but it's a terrible taskmaster. Well, all that really means is money is great. You can buy food with it. You can buy gas. You can heat your home with it if you need to. Not me. I live off grid, but you can do many things with money, and it's your servant. But if it becomes your taskmaster, meaning you serve it, you're striving for things, you want more and more money, you're greedy, you're willing to sell out anything and anyone for money, it's a terrible taskmaster. It's like a drug. You never get enough, and it will destroy you. So that verse covers that. So all this means is it's great to use it as a tool. Never let it control you. You control it. Never let it control you. All right? And let me give you an example of a man with some money from the Bible that made a big mistake. Acts 8:18-24. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands I may receive the Holy Ghost, or he may receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that thy gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity, that's sin. Then Simon answered and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken do come upon me. So Simon apparently had some money. You know, people back then weren't throwing money around. Peter, that one man reached out to Peter, and Peter said, money I have none, but gold and silver I have none, but I'll pray for you, and I can heal you, and this type of thing. So Simon obviously had some money. He was ready to buy the power of God. You think a little bit of money went to Simon's head? Yeah, it did. And that happens to people all the time. In like manner, we know, I've heard lots of stories. In fact, I know some people this happened to, one person in particular, that they won the lottery. This is when I was a pagan. I knew of this man. Or people that have inherited big amounts of money. And you know what happened? Instead of it being a blessing on their life, it was a curse. It degraded their life. Curse, I mean, it just meant a lot of bad things on their life. It degraded their life. It ruined relationships. It ruined their focus. It caused them into alcohol addiction, drug addiction, porn addiction. They stopped working and had all this time on their hands, and they got into nothing but trouble. It's another example. Greed and corruption is what too much money can bring you. So it's not the money that's evil. It's your love of things and money that can change your life, that then leads you down the wrong path. Again, going back to our main verse, it says they pierced themselves over the love of money and brought many sorrows. We see that all the time in the world. Like I said, people that come into money, I've talked to men. I knew several wealthy men, and you know what they would say to me? They'd say, I don't know who's my real friend. I can't tell if my family really loves me anymore. I don't know who's my real friend. I think people just like me because I got money, and they became suspicious of everyone, and it ruined their life in many, many cases. So something to ponder about money, using it as a tool, don't let it use you, and don't let it pierce yourself and bring on many sorrows. And number four, I've heard many say that just using money today, like here in America, we have a dollar bill, is sinful and evil because it's of the world and it's got some evil, they say, New World images on it, like the like one eyeball and a triangle and all these things. They say it's New World Order. They say money is of Satan and you shouldn't even use it if you're a Christian. But you know, our Lord and Savior sets us straight in the Word as usual. Let me read something to you. Using money is not evil, all right? Being used by money is evil. Let me read a scripture to you. Mark 12:14-17. But when they are come, they say unto him, Master, we know thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? They were looking to get Jesus in trouble. They were his enemies. Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it. And he said unto them, Who is this image and subscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. So what Jesus was saying there was, they're in a corrupt pagan Roman culture, using corrupt pagan Roman money, with a picture of a corrupt pagan, they said Caesar was like a god, on the money. And they were trying to trip Jesus up, and would have got him in big trouble if he would have said, oh no, you can't touch money, you can't do nothing with Caesar, because Rome would have come down on Jesus so quickly. But Jesus, knowing the truth, being God himself, and knowing what they were trying to do, he taught them that, you know what, that's Caesar's. That money is all of Caesar. Give to Caesar's. Basically, use it for what you need and give to God what is God's, meaning that's the priority. That's more important. If you know Jesus' teaching, he said, seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else is added unto you. He always put the kingdom of God, the truth of God, the word of God, the spirit of God, everything of God above everything on earth. So Jesus just elevated all the things of God above that puny little coin with Caesar's picture on it. And it proves to us that today in America, we can use a dollar bill. We're not in sin because there's pagan symbols on it. We're only using it because we're citizens of America. It's the law and legal to do so. We need to buy food. We're in the world, not of it. And so people that say those things really have no idea what they're talking about. Jesus makes it clear, using money is not sinful from a pagan culture. You're in the world, you're not of it. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, but give to God what is God's. You know, if everyone would live by that mantra, that saying alone, give to God's what is God's, many pitfalls in this life would be avoided, especially regarding money, because people would be using their time better, people would be using their resources better, people wouldn't be chasing the dollar bill and careers and education. They'd be seeking the kingdom of God most of all. Amen? So those are my points I wanted to cover about some money misconceptions. Now I want to turn to my story. And this is kind of a recent thing. I've been doing a testing on this man for 2 or 3 years now. But there's an Anabaptist man in Boston who started out as an evangelical. And he began to read the Sermon on the Mount and read the Bible more. And he was on a good path for truth. And he was an investment. He ran a mutual fund, still does. And the mutual fund started about the same time he was seeking the kingdom of God. And what I find is really interesting is his good path of truth got sent into a ditch when he became super rich. I mean, mega, mega millions rich, okay? And his theology began to change. And he started spending money on things, starting a college, that he once said were sinful and you shouldn't do. He began to write, he wrote a book once and said you shouldn't write books and sell them, but he does that. And in his book, he has many hypocritical things. He has many hypocritical associations. He tells people that they should live simple like Jesus, give away extra tunics, and not accumulate wealth while he sits on $7 billion for rich people. Yeah, that's what he oversees. $7 billion for rich people. He lives in a house in Boston worth $1 million. But he says he lives radical like Jesus. This is hypocrisy. And we just finished doing a reading of his book. We're going to do a book review on it to warn our neighbors. And we see how he was on this good path, better path of truth. And when he became mega rich, his focus changed. He decided to start a college and started to lift up higher education because he has a doctorate degree. And he decided to focus on things that are not of God at all. And so it just shows you he lives in great hypocrisy. And it shows for anybody that does testing. And I really believe that this man's wealth is what turned him, caused him, pierced himself. And it's going to bring on many, many sorrows in his life when he should not have let that happen. There's no reason any man should be seeking a business to make him worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Again, it's not sinful, but you know what? Be careful. It's quite the trap. And it must be why Jesus said this. And this is a great warning to that man. And anyone. Matthew 19:23-24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, keep reading there. We know it's possible. Jesus says with God, all things are possible. So it's possible. It's not the money that's going to keep him out of heaven. It's his attitude, his associations, his theology, his false ways, his greed, his pride over naming himself a doctor and starting a college and lifting himself up and going to all kinds of conferences and seminars and all of the things that are opposite of what God says we're supposed to do. Preach the gospel, make disciples. He's starting a college, spending $1 million on furniture. Yeah, started a college. He's donating $30 million for a college, and it's not a biblical one. And he spent $1 million on furniture for the college. Does that sound like something for the kingdom of God? I don't think so. So if we read scripture, as I'm trying to show you here, it's clear the money's not evil. It's the love and the control it has over you. And large amounts, specifically, and large amounts are relative, right? If you're dirt poor, $10,000 is a lot of money to you. If you're this man, you know, many, many millions is a lot of money to him. So it all depends. But still, the mindset and the attitude, we have to be very careful. The pursuit of wealth is a very, very vain thing. Jesus also said this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So that's a really good point right there. I love that. Where your heart's at, where your treasure's at, your heart will be also. So if you had $50 million in a bank in investments, it is really, really hard for your heart not to be there with that. And I think that's the trial that rich men fall into is babysitting their money, holding onto their money, looking after their money, trying to grow their money, and all the while saying, hey, I'm seeking the kingdom of God. Jesus says that's an inconsistent lifestyle. I'm going to go with Jesus and believe him. Very, very careful. Don't ever fall into that trap. Proverbs 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. I like that. So trusting in your riches, doesn't matter if you have $1,000 or $10 million, don't trust in your money because you may die tomorrow and that money's going to go to somebody else. You know, another quick story. I had an uncle growing up that used to save strings, save cans. He lived a frugal life. I was told when he died, he had over $1 million some in the bank. And that was like 30 years ago. It's probably worth like $10 million now. And you know what? He died. He never did nothing with his money. He saved it up. He stuck it in his walls. When he died, the money all went to his side of his family that he hated. Isn't that sad? He spent his whole life defending, propping up, serving this money, trying to grow it, build it up. And when he died, he perished. He was a worldly, carnal, wicked man. His money went to people in his family that he hated. It reminds you of the biblical story of the guy that says he's going to get all his grain put away and build bigger barns. And he says, you fool, your soul's going to be required of you on this day. So don't trust in money. That's what I'm trying to get to you here. But money is not the evil part. It's the love of money. Some people You know, it's like alcohol. Some people could have a glass of wine for the Lord's Supper, it never bothers them. Other people have a proclivity towards alcohol and they should drink grapefruit juice because it may cause them to stumble. Some people can have $1 million in the bank and live like anybody else and it would never change them. Most people, it goes to their head. It goes to their heart. It changes them. So it all depends on who you are. Know yourself and then know what God's word says about money and you'll go a long way from not seeking it and falling into that trap. Use your money as a tool, but never seek more than you need to live a simple life, lest you will fall into the ditch of greed, materialism, love of money. How should we live? 1 Timothy 6:8. Having food and raiment, which is clothing, let us be therewith content. There you go. Contentment in the Lord is really the answer that fights wealth, whether you want wealth, whether you have it, being content, not wanting and desiring for more, keeping your focus on the kingdom of God, the truth of God, your own faith in Christ, your brothers and sisters that are close to you if you have them, and then reaching the lost around you. You go, you die with $10 million in the bank. What good did it do you or anyone around you to build the kingdom of God unless you're using your life, your freedom, your energy, your time to live for the kingdom and then preach it and proclaim it so that others may hear the truth? How will they hear without a preacher, right? So I hope that's blessed you talking about money today. Love of money is the main issue, but having lots of money and getting caught up in it is definitely a pit and a trap that causes many to be pierced, as the scripture says, and to fall away. So I encourage you, saints, to strive on in the truth of God. Strive deep in His word, and here's what I'll tell you. Strive deep in His word. Obey it. And you shall never be poor in truth, in this life, or in the life that is yet to come. Amen. We should be looking for the life to come where money won't mean nothing. The streets are gold. Yeah, we should be looking for eternity and just doing what we need to get by and get through this life here as we seek and serve our King. I'm going to leave it right there. I hope that you'll go to don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog, go to the teaching library, either one. Lots of articles, lots of sisters' blogs, lots of audio readings, scripture readings, videos, all types of material to help you keep your focus on the kingdom of God, the truth of God, and avoid all the snares and pitfalls of this life, like loving money, false teachers, false gospels, worldliness, carnality, and all the rest of the pitfalls that come against a true saint of God. Test yourself to the word of God. Repent and obey the gospel today. Hey, this has been Brother James. We love you all. Till next time, be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, and may God be praised.